Jesus is the reason for the season, and truly He is, and that's the reason that we're here this morning to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Last week we looked at Isaiah chapter 9. We looked at an Old Testament scripture that was prophesying about the birth of Jesus Christ. And so this happened before Christ was born. And so the people in the Old Testament were looking unto the birth of Christ. We look back upon it and we can rejoice in knowing that it actually happened. What was told would happen did happen. Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That is telling about the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus Christ. Then we looked at Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 1 about the birth of the Christ child. In Matthew chapter 1, it talks about the angel of the Lord making Joseph aware of the birth of Christ, and that Christ would be born of the Holy Spirit, of a virgin birth. And then verse 21, the one that we focused on, and she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, that's Jesus, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now we'll go to Luke's account, Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, it mentions the birth of Christ. It doesn't mention specifically the wording here that he shall save his people from their sins. It's good to read both Matthew's account and Luke's account to be able to look back upon the birth of Jesus Christ and see how that they individually bring it to light for us. In Luke chapter 1, we'll look at chapter 1 and chapter 2. There are at least in Luke, there are at least six accounts where it's brought to our attention that either the angel Gabriel told of the coming of the birth of Christ or the Holy Spirit. One account in Matthew chapter 1, we'll make reference to that here in a minute, but we'll go through and look at some of the experiences here and specifically note the accounts where the angel Gabriel or the Holy Spirit foretold about the birth of Christ and how that it, Mary and Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth were made aware of the birth of not only Jesus, but John as well. In Luke, it tells us more about John as being referred to as the forerunner of Christ. And it talks about the miraculous birth of John. Start with verse 1. Luke's account, Luke was a physician, and Luke was also a minister. I remember, and Sister Chrissy probably remembers this, I remember when Luke Humes was born, and I said, maybe he'll be a doctor. And Carla said, maybe he'll be a preacher. So that was the thoughts at the time. Well, Luke here is a physician and also a minister. And God inspired these writings for the benefit of you and I through this minister physician. For as much as ye have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Luke is saying right here, I'm bringing something to you that's proven, it's tried, it's not something new, but I'm reminding you of something old right here. He says, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Luke is saying that there's actually folks that maybe he's talked to, others that he's aware of, that were eyewitnesses of the birth of Jesus Christ. And he says, it's not just hearsay. It's something that we have eyewitnesses from. We've got Brother Phil and we've got Brother Ben that are fine attorneys here. And they can tell you the value of having an eyewitness to prove something. And right here, Luke is saying, we have eyewitnesses to the proof of the things that we're going to tell you right here. There's folks that have witnessed. He said, even as they have delivered them unto us from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me, having had a perfect understanding of all these things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. He says, it's good for me that it seemed good to me, having had an understanding of all these things from the very first. It's interesting right here. Luke's account goes all the way back. It goes further back than Matthew and Mark and John. Luke's account goes all the way back, and it takes in John, and it takes in the prophecy of John, and John being referred to as the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Luke's account also goes all the way through, not only about the birth of John, but he addresses the birth of Christ. He addresses the life of Christ. He addresses the death of Christ. He addresses Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. He addresses Christ upon the cross of Calvary, and then the resurrection. So when he refers to it right here, having made reference to all these things, he's talking about, and from the beginning, he says, I went all the way back, even before Christ, is what he's saying right here. And then he highlights about the birth of John first. John was about 6 months ahead of Jesus Christ. And so Luke highlights that right there. It talks about the parents of John, Zacharias and Elizabeth. And it says they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. It doesn't mean that they weren't sinners. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are depraved. All are guilty sinners. But what it does mean is that they desired and made an effort in their life to follow the commandments of the Lord. And that's how it's referring to it right here. And what a testimony, what a witness. I've been blessed to witness the children and grandchildren of parents that passed away. And at the funeral service, the children and grandchildren would tell what a blessing that their parents were in having a desire to walk a godly life and to be a godly example. And so that's what he's saying right here. He says that Zacharias and Elizabeth were those that were desiring to seek God, and that it says they were walking in all the commandments and ordinances blameless before the Lord. But it says that Elizabeth had no children. Now, they had pretty well given up on having children. They were kind of like Abraham and Sarah. And their response was about the same as Abraham and Sarah's. The response of Zacharias was just about the same as Abraham and Sarah. Sarah laughed when she thought that she was going to be with child, and I think she was about 90 years of age. And so you can understand why that she would respond the way that she did. Said that they had no children. They were both now well stricken in years. And it says that that Zacharias, who was went up to the priest office to burn incense into the temple of the Lord to offer sacrifice. It says, and here's the first one that we'll make reference to. Now, there's one in Matthew chapter 1 that the angel spoke to Joseph about the coming of Jesus. Here's the first one we'll look at in Luke's account. It says, and while he was there at the temple offering sacrifice, it says, there appeared unto him, unto Zacharias, the angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of the incense. So he experiences a godly form bringing a godly message, yet he doubts it when he hears it at first. And we'll see what happens as the result of his doubt. It says, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And it says, when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And that's important right there to hold on to, that he was actually named by the angel and sent by the Lord. And it says that, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. He's talking about John right here. And he says, Zacharias, you're going to have a son. Elizabeth's going to bear a child in her old age. His name is John. And he's going to bring about a lot of joy to a lot of folks. And you and Elizabeth are going to rejoice in the life of John. Now, it comes on down. It says, and he shall turn the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Basically, he's referred to, and it's highlighted right here, that John is the forerunner paving the way of the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. That he is a disciple of the Lord, called of the Lord, to go before Jesus Christ. And it says that he is used of God to turn the hearts of people toward God and toward Christ as the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Now, it says that, verse 17, and he shall go before him in spirit and power of Elias, Isaiah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And then he says, here's the purpose of John, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He's just basically saying that he is the forerunner right here to go before Christ, so that when Christ is born, the work and ministry of Christ, that there's going to be a people that are going to receive and rejoice in the coming of the Messiah. And he says, that's what the purpose of John is right here. It says, and Zacharias said unto the angel, here's Zacharias' response. He says, whereby shall I know this? He says, how am I going to know that this is going to be true, that this is actually going to happen? Because he says, I'm an old man. He says, how is it that I am an old man? And he says, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel responded to him, and he said, and I think this is pretty profound how that the angel responded to Zacharias. He said, and the angel answering said unto him, now, I expect that if we were in the same situation of Zacharias and Elizabeth, we'd probably respond just exactly the same way. We might even have more doubts than Zacharias did. But the angel of the Lord, if you remember that his first message was that you fear not. That's the purpose of angels, to bring good news and great joy and good tidings. And that is the purpose of the gospel message, is to bring about the good news about Jesus Christ, about the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, about Christ coming to take us home to be with him in glory. And he says right here, he said, I am the angel, and the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel. That's the name of the angel. And he says, and I stand in the presence of God. Amen. Well, you just can't get any more authority than that right there. Gabriel said that the message that I'm bringing to you comes straight from God. God gave it to me. I'm in the presence of God, and I'm bringing this message to you. No doubt Zacharias was in awe. But look what he said right here. He said, and I come to bring you this message. And he says, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. That's what he says. That is my purpose right here. And that is the purpose of Jesus Christ, about the birth of Christ, is to bring the good news and the glad tidings. Amen. Then look what he says. The angel says, and behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak. He says, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You know, this ought to remind us that at a minimum, we ought to believe the promises of God. Amen. We should. It ought to remind us. Zacharias was stricken and was dumb, unable to speak, because he didn't believe the angel of the Lord. Now, he believed him after Gabriel announced that he was in the presence of God. And he believed him when he was smitten and not able to speak. But he says that, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. It comes on down and it tells us that the name of the child would be called John. And Zacharias knows that. Now the family, we'll see, wanted to name him after the dad because that was more typical to name him after Zacharias. We'll see the birth of it. We're going to kind of speed through this because I want to get to the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 1 is really, really good. I encourage you to go through and read all of Luke chapter 1. Really, really good. It talks about the birth of John and then begins to talk about the birth of Christ. Couple of points right here. In verse 26, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph." So if you look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, you'll see that the angel also went to Joseph. Here is the third account of the angel. We saw the angel speaking to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. We see where the angel Gabriel spoke unto Zacharias about the coming of John and how that he would be the forerunner of the Messiah. And here we see the third example right here where the angel Gabriel came to Mary, to the virgin. It says, "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Now, I know that sometimes in the day in which we live, that some people, there's some folks that they worship Mary. Mary is a sinner just like everybody else. We don't worship Mary. We worship the Lord. We're thankful for Mary. And we're thankful that the Lord blessed her to carry the Christ child. But the one that we worship is the Lord. A few years ago, I'll never forget, I was driving up 95. And this is when they had the toll booths up in Delaware. I don't know if they're still in the same spot. But it was back then when you paid tolls or had the tickets that you would use. It's been a long time ago. But they handed out this flyer when we paid our toll. And it referred to Earth Day and how that we were supposed to respect and honor Mother Earth. Now, I don't think we're supposed to abuse it. It's a blessing from God. But we don't worship the earth. We worship the Lord that created the earth. And right here, we don't worship Mary, but we do worship the Lord that created Mary to carry the Christ child. So the angel of the Lord came and said unto her, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled. Same response that Joseph had, same response that Zacharias had. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and she cast in her mind, what manner of salutation should this be? And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now, we'll see a little further in the chapter that it says, it references Mary, and it says, Mary thought on these things. Mary thought back about what was being told to her right here. When other things took place, it referred and reminded her. It says she thought on those things. The angel said, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Almost the same exact wording in Matthew chapter 1, except verse 21 says, "And he shall save his people from their sins." It says, "And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." And then Mary questioning, and rightly so, Mary questioned and said, "How can this be, seeing that I know not a man?" And the angel answered again unto her. And here's where we have the teaching of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Here the angel of the Lord that was in the presence of God is teaching Mary about the virgin birth of the Christ child. And he says, this is how it happens. And the angel answered unto her and said, "The Holy Ghost, which is sinless." If it had been from a natural man, then Christ would have been conceived in sin, just like you and I are. But it was the Holy Ghost, which is sinless and in a state of perfection. And it says, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing," I think that's interesting right there. It's the Holy Ghost that's going to overshadow Mary, that's going to come up on her. It says, "The Holy Ghost shall come up on thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." And then look how he describes it. And he says, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So he says right here that Jesus Christ is conceived with the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is sinless, and as a result, that Jesus Christ is referred to as that holy thing because he was conceived with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, a sinless state of perfection. And then he says, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, the angel is delivering this message to Mary, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and is in the sixth month with her who was barren. And then the angel of the Lord brings a profound message right here. This verse is just sort of tucked away right in the middle of this chapter. And this verse is meant for you and I. And it's just as applicable as it's ever been. He says, "Mary, you're pondering these things. You're perplexed about this. You're perplexed about the virgin birth. You're perplexed about your cousin Elizabeth being stricken in years and being pregnant with a child 6 months along. You're perplexed about these things," but then he comes in and he just plugs this principle in right here. And it's a principle that we hold to. It's a principle that's for all of us in all times. He says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Amen. Now, this was to convince Mary of what was about to take place with her. Amen. And to convince Mary of what was taking place with Elizabeth. Mm. But that principle is still there for you and I today. Can you think of anything in your life that seems impossible? When Grace and Jared were really, really sick, it was almost impossible that Jared would get well. And God worked a miracle in the life of Jared. It was a miracle. Brother Carlton Kenway, I mean, he and Brother Harvey were both at the same point, the same place, both in ICU, both on life support, and it looked like that he wasn't going to get any better, and yet God worked a miracle. For with God, nothing is impossible. If you're thinking of something right now in your life that seems impossible, then this principle right here just proves that it's possible with God. So it gives us something to remind us about. And that's what the purpose of the gospel is. The gospel is not to bring you some new thing. The gospel is to be a reminder for us, to remind us about the principle and the promises of Almighty God and the blessings of God. And here's a really good one. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's just tucked away right here in the middle of this chapter. Really, really good lesson for us right here. Now, there's another principle that this is so, so good. It says, Mary arose in those days. Then she went to see her cousin Elizabeth. I love this account right here. It says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard it, Mary went in to see Elizabeth." Elizabeth was 6 months with child. Elizabeth was carrying John, and he was 6 months old. We had already seen last week in Matthew's account in chapter 1 that it says that John will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. Right here, we have an evidence that even though he had not been born, he was full of the Holy Spirit. Because look at what happens right here. So if folks try to tell you that life doesn't really begin until you experience the birth of a child, this right here, this one verse right here, disproves it. It does. God recognized the child after conception. And we have a witness and an experience of it right here. Look what it happens. It says, when Mary came to Elizabeth, and it says that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, what is it saying right here? Mary and Elizabeth come together. And when Elizabeth hears the story of the Christ child, look at the response. Not only did Elizabeth rejoice, but it says that when Mary gave the salutation, the story about the Christ child being born, it says that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, it says the babe, that 6-month-old babe that had not been born, it says the babe was filled with the Holy Ghost. And it says, and it comes down, and she spake with a loud voice. Not only was filled with the Holy Ghost, it says, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is it to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears." Here's the result right here. He says, "For lo, when the salutation sounded in my ears," Elizabeth says, "that 6-month-old babe that I had leapt for joy in my womb." Now, it wouldn't happen if it didn't have life and if it didn't have spiritual life. More importantly, spiritual life. So that's evidence that not only is there life, but it's evidence that God can choose if He wants to. Amen. You may look back upon your life and you may say, even from a child, I felt like that I always believed that there was a God. Mm-hmm. Well, it may be that God quickened you with His Spirit. Amen. While you were yet in your mother's womb. Mm-hmm. It may be that when you were born, you already had the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. Amen. Here's an example of it right here. Mm-hmm. Now, we can look at David, the life of David. And it says that David was made to hope while upon his mother's breast. So David was made to rejoice, was given the Holy Spirit while he was nursing upon his mother's breast as a small child before he could intellectually understand anything. Yet the Spirit of God was not hindered at all in quickening with the Holy Spirit. So, to me, this is a great blessing right here. It's a great encouragement to us that not only was there life, but there was even more importantly, spiritual life right here. Now, that's pretty amazing. "And blessed is she that believed, for thou shalt be a performance of those things which were told of her from the Lord. And then Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord." It just comes. I'm just going to speed on through the rest of this chapter. I want to get to chapter 2 because it really defines the birth of Christ. It describes in the latter portion of chapter 1 about the purpose of John. I'm just going to touch on that, and then when John was, I do want to mention this. When he was born, his father, if you remember, he was dumb and could not speak. And when he was born, the family and friends all gathered around, and they called him Zacharias. They said his name is Zacharias, named after his dad. And his mom said, his mother said, Elizabeth said, no, it's John. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't take what she said, and they said, well, we're going to ask the dad. And so he couldn't speak, and he says, you bring me a tablet, and I'll tell you what his name is. And they brought him a tablet, and he penciled out, I say penciled, he marked out, his name is John. And as soon as he said that, he was able to speak. As soon as he said that. Zacharias wouldn't have named him anything else in the world. You know, when a mom and dad have their first child, they like to somehow attach it to the dad's name, or the dad's like that. And right here, he did forego that and named him what the angel Gabriel told him. And he says, and the child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light unto them that sit in darkness. This was the purpose of John. And in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of the showing of Israel. Now, just want to touch on the reason for the season as we begin to wrap it up. By the way, I skipped over it, but the angel also appeared. I'm going to touch on that in just a minute. The angel also appeared unto the shepherds, that there was going to be the birth of the Christ child. And they went and honored his birth. In Luke chapter 2, it says that Joseph and Mary went to be taxed. And it says Mary was great with child when they went. Just basically meant that she was just about to have the child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, basically a feeding trough for the animals, born basically in a barn with the feeding trough for the animals. It says, because there was no room for them in the inn. So it's amazing that the Christ child, who is actually the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, was born by such a meager, humble birth as being in the presence of the animals. It says they laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And then it talks about the shepherds and how they were keeping their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord came to them, and the glory of the Lord shone upon them. And it says, for the angel said unto them, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is the Christ child. Two more places that the angel or the Holy Spirit of the Lord revealed the Christ child. Verse 19 says, but Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. When people would mention something or she would see something, it reminded her of the angel speaking to her about the Christ child. There was a priest in the latter part of this chapter, and his name was Simeon. And it said that he had been looking for the consolation of Israel. And it says, when the parents went up to offer their sacrifices, they took the Christ child, and he recognized the Christ as the Messiah and the consolation of Israel. And Simeon said, after he held the Christ child, he said, now I'm ready to depart. I have witnessed what I've been looking forward to, what I had been told and inspired and impressed that would happen, that there's going to be a Christ child. And now that I've witnessed him, now that I've held him, I'm ready to go on and be with the Lord. Amen. Says there was another little lady, Anna, and she had been looking for the Christ child. And it said that she had served in the temple of the Lord most of her life. And it said that, I don't understand this completely, but it said that she was a widow of about 84 years. Now that would make her 84 years. I don't think she had been married 84 years, but she was above 84 years of age. And she had been serving in the temple in prayers and fasting day and night. And when she came in and the Christ child was there, she recognized that this was the coming Messiah. And she gave thanks instantly unto the Lord. And she spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. We can go through in Matthew's account and in Luke's account, and we can see a total of 7 places there that either the angel of the Lord, many times it was referred to as Gabriel, or the Holy Spirit told of the coming of the Messiah or verified the Messiah. Did Christ really have a virgin birth? Was he really born? Did he really do what he was sent to do? I believe the fulfillment of Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. Thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. You can read through Luke's account, and Luke says, I went all the way back from the beginning. And he takes it from the very beginning, and he goes all the way to the very end. Yes, Christ is the real reason for the season. May God bless you.